everybody, welcome to, wait, we're still doing Talking Tigs, right? Right. We're not doing Discussing Doors yet.
Yeah.
Talking Doors.
Yeah, Talking Tulane after they're clearly the best team in Louisiana right now.
Exactly. Thanks for bearing with us, folks. Welcome to another edition. This is still Talking Tigs, at least for the moment. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. Man, we got another bad one to bring for you, unfortunately, but we are dedicated. We're going to do it because somebody has to. As long as they're going to be coaching and playing the rest of the games, we're going to be with you delivering the outcomes. Unfortunately, the Tigers dropped a third game in a row, lost on the road at Florida. It's not like they just lost. They lost by double digits. 27-16, man, didn't see that coming. I don't know. I think I had an inkling, but again, I was like, nah, you're just thinking the worst. You're being negative. We've lost two in a row. You just get it out of your head, Scott. But no, that feeling was apparently right. Got to break that down as well as the rest of college football. Still some other interesting games. I think it is kind of starting to shake out what the playoff is going to look like. I still think there's teams that are – look like locks for the playoff, like Indiana or maybe BYU, but I just feel like they just really don't have a chance, although Indiana has a game next week and that's going to help decide that. But we'll get into it for all of you. Before we do, want to check in with you guys, especially you, Daniel. You were actually at this tragedy of a game. Hopefully it was still a good experience for you. It was a good environment. You got to go to the Swamp. I've been there, but not for game day. Looked like a nice stadium. It was a nice campus otherwise. How you guys doing?
Good to be with you. Unfortunately, talking about another Tiger loss, doesn't feel like, this is not the normal way that we're used to conducting business here. And so a little bit of disappointer. It's even more disappointing for Daniel. I got to see a terrible loss 2 weeks ago. Now Daniel got to see one in person. Now, Scott, you just need to come down for this Vanderbilt game, and then we'll probably you'll get to see a bad loss too.
Right. Yep, the cold streak continues. And like Scott mentioned, I was at the game in Gainesville last night or afternoon, I guess. But it was actually my first ever LSU away game, first time in Gainesville. And pretty much everything except for the game itself was good. Had a nice tailgate with some friends from LSU, had the little setup kind of on the main drag, I guess, in the fraternity row area. But definitely pretty popping. The weather was nice. It was warm, but not too hot like it can be earlier on in the season. And yeah, the stadium was pretty full. I would guess like 90% ish. I don't really know how it looked on TV. The Florida faithful were there and they were loud pretty much all through the game, not much leaving, which I guess is good for them. The tiny pockets of LSU fans like we were mostly silent given the on-field product, and it was a sad exit. Thankfully, we avoided the ire of too many Gator fans. I'd been warned that the Gator fans can be a little bit of some hecklers and a little bit mean. Got a few comments, but nothing too outlandish. So made it out of there unscathed, and hopefully
didn't LSU have to can throw hands or anything.
No, I wasn't squaring up with any guys in jorts. It was still a fun time and a good experience. So hopefully next time I go to an away game, LSU could actually bring home the bacon. And it didn't look much better on in real life than I assume it did on TV.
Probably not. Tommy, I think I'm going to save that trip for the bowl game, because by then I think there's probably some players that are just going to sit out the bowl game because they want to save themselves for the draft or just hitting the transfer portal. So I want to wait till we are a complete hot mess and then pay money to see them in a different city, not college stadium prices. Thank you very much.
Maybe we can plan a trip where we all pay exorbitant fees to go watch LSU lose. That would be fun.
We almost did that in the Vegas game at the start of the season because I was considering going to that, and then I think we avoided it.
Yeah, although that would have been a good game to watch. Came down to the very end, but not this one. They kind of ran away with it, literally. Like, I don't know, just thinking of the last – I mean, we'll get to that when we talk about defense, but, man, the Tigers had it, and they just let it go. I don't know, man. It's I think at this point it's just not the same. It's like the team started a little rough against USC. Like, what are we doing? But then it started to come into their own. And then it's like ever since halftime at the A&M game, they've been a different team. I don't know if there's anything specifically to point to. It's just the last three games after halftime. Well, Bama game was before halftime, to be honest. But like A&M in Florida, second half, we just looked like we didn't want to be there, right? I don't know if Kelly has lost this team. There were some incidents on the sideline that did not look good, which, yeah. Granted, it was only, you know, maybe Kelly was justified yelling at Chris Hilton, or maybe Kyron Lacy was justified yelling at BK, but that's what came to the surface. Makes me think there's probably some other stuff going on. So I don't know. Tommy, I don't know. I think I'd message you guys saying, you know what, maybe it's not too early to start talking about Brian Kelly buyout talks, or at least just looking at the numbers. Cause I mean, we're not going to wait 10 years like A&M didn't with Jimbo, but it's obvious that year three did not trend upwards like we thought it would. And the team is not, you know, showing any improvement no matter what happens. So I don't know.
It feels like in a lot of ways we're regressing. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's, you know, out of left field to at least explore buyout. Now, I mean, $61 million is the magic number. So I don't know how you round that up. You think you got to round that up plus have enough on the table to go get somebody who you think could be better.
Right. Exactly.
And so, you know, it's very difficult. He's got a lot to prove, I think, in these last two games. Now, obviously, like we have no shot at anything worthwhile. Playoffs dead, SEC's dead, you know.
In win season.
You're playing for pride now. But this team has no pride. You could tell they have no pride. They don't care. You know, it doesn't feel like they care. I mean, not to say, like, you know, I don't want to go out on a limb and be like, oh, they don't care, because I'm sure there are people on that team who want to win as just as bad as anybody, but sure doesn't look like it. And I mean, a loss where you control the ball for like 45 minutes, you know what I mean? Like you have, and you run it down their throat. See, we rushed for over 160 yards. That's a game we should win. Like, that's not even like a sore loser kind of like, oh, we should have won that game. It's like, no, like that is a game that we should have won. And good on Florida for being able to snatch victory from us. But, it's just unacceptable. That's an unacceptable loss. The Bama loss was bad. The Bama loss was very, very bad, but they're a good team. Florida is not a good team. So, you know, like Napier was scorching hot, you know, hot seat, gone, fired, done with 2 weeks ago. It took the AD coming out and like putting a formal letter out saying, no, he's our guy, we're staying with him, to silence people talking about firing Napier, and he just beat you. So very disappointing. Honestly, no redeeming qualities from that game. There were no redeeming qualities really from the Bama game, no redeeming qualities from that Florida game. I don't know which one's worse. We can argue back and forth. That's about all we have to talk about these days, is which loss was worse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Daniel, what was it like there? What was the feeling?
Well, going into this game, it was a big question of motivation, considering that Florida, their playoff hopes had been dashed a few weeks prior, and LSU was kind of all but eliminated in the Alabama game, although there were still some threads to hold on to, chances of getting in the SEC championship game, or maybe we can backdoor in with the playoff. But it came out, LSU just completely flat. Florida, you talk about playing for pride, they actually played for pride. LSU played for not much of anything. It was very uninspired in all aspects of the game. The coaching, the play calling, I made a comment of it during the game, like LSU on offense gets inside the opponent's 30-yard line and then they forget what sport they're playing. Basically, we either run it straight up the middle or Garrett Nussmeier just lobs it out of bounds. And so that leads to 50-yard field goal attempt after one after another, or we commit a penalty and we're back at the 50-yard line and nothing happens. I saw a stat that in our last 27 drives, LSU scored 3 touchdowns. So basically 1 touchdown every 9 drives. And you only get the ball about 11 times per game, 10 to 11 times. So we're averaging 1 touchdown per game over the last 3 games. And that's not going to get you very far in the SEC. And it's a combination of, the coaching. We talked about Brian Kelly, the play calling, as well as the motivation on the field. There was missed blocking assignments leading to Garrett Nussmeier going down 7 times in the backfield. Nussmeier himself, who you have to throw a chunk of the blame at, although he is playing hurt. I definitely saw that in real life. Walking gingerly on the bum ankle numerous times, as well as he went down with didn't go down, but he came away with the left arm injury at a certain point. He basically had the arm pinned to his side as he trotted off the field. And so you could tell he was hurt and they kept putting him out there. I almost felt a little bit bad for him because his mobility shot, his accuracy is very poor at this point. And I think the rest of the team is feeding off of that because they know that without the quarterback steering at 100%, then we're handicapped in all aspects. And then the defense, missed tackles continued. We weren't able to get pressure on DJ Lagway in any meaningful way, given that our pass rush had been probably the best aspect of the defense throughout this entire season. And it all just looked flat. I mean, Alabama, we looked flat, but at least it's against Alabama. They've got 5-star prospects. It was somewhat excusable. This is like Florida. We're the ones who were supposed to be outmatching them in terms of talent and motivation, and they completely flipped the script on us. It wasn't a devastation, but it was definitely a physical and moral victory for Florida, and it's hard to imagine things getting that much better going forward. So I'm sure there was some talking twos in the locker room afterwards between Brian Kelly, the rest of his staff, and the players, and some harsh words exchanged. We saw those on Twitter from the clips on the sideline. And it does seem that the overall morale is pretty much at an all-time low at this point.
The question truly is Chris Hilton uncoachable?
Yeah, that was the big question, where it looks like Brian Kelly was yelling at Chris Hilton and told him that he is uncoachable. And I don't know how to answer that, but that doesn't seem like the players are thrilled about Brian, and it doesn't seem like Brian is thrilled about the players at this point. And that's a recipe for more losses on your schedule.
I guess this is the BK era. Is this what we were promised? Is this what we wanted out of the BK era?
No, it's not. I think Notre Dame fans tried to tell us, but we were like, whatever. Once he gets down here and he does his thing with our players, we're going to be better. Don't worry. Dancing with the 360 TikTok videos. I don't know. But hey, both of the people in that video have not done anything since.
It's true.
No, I'm kidding. That's not true. Brian Kelly has dust. He won the West in his first year. He had a Heisman Trophy quarterback in his second year. So we expected to at least see something this year, but we've definitely took a step down. I don't know. It doesn't all look good, but if there is an issue with the players, I don't know, man. It's like Kelly's been there long enough. So I think if it was an issue with him and how he coached, that I don't know. You think we would have seen this earlier, or is this just a culmination of losing the previous 2 games and the players are just frustrated? Cause it's like, you didn't really see this before with Kelly. It's like he had some down years. I know they had at least a couple 4-loss seasons, right? So is this just a down year and everything's going to be saved when Bryce Underwood gets here? Or is there really serious cause for concern? And Scott Woodward's texting Nick Saban, it's like, hey, that football ops building you built?
Do you want to come here?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to.
Well, you can be our DC. How about that? Because, I don't know, man. I was going to say we could probably use one, but I don't know. It's like early in the season, Blake Baker's defense seemed to started taking shape. You could see improvements. But then the last 3 weeks, or excuse me, the last 2.5 weeks, like I said, ever since halftime at A&M, teams have just been doing whatever they want. I don't know if it's because our offense isn't doing anything and eating up clock and just keeping their offense on the bench or what, but one telling sign that go ahead, the kind of nail in the coffin for Florida was that long run. And they're asking, linebacker Weeks after the game. And he said that half the guys thought they were running one play. The other half thought they were running one play. And that just tells you right there. I don't know. It's like, have we been doing that all this time? It's like, is that why all these big gains, like even the games we won, has that been going on? Because that's unacceptable for the what we pay our head coach, what we pay our defensive coordinator, and all the assistants. There's just no excuse for that. How are we so bad at that?
I don't have an answer. And I don't think Blake Baker has an answer. I don't think anybody on the staff has an answer. I would say I think that the defense was not the issue during this game. I mean, on that one play, yes, that was pretty terrible. And Daniel, we looked at the play, and it's bad. But I think that the defense kept him off the field. You know what I mean? Like we had possession for 40 plus minutes.
Yeah.
And the run game was overall pretty effective, which is what we have been calling for all season. And it was just the lack of, we didn't have any huge plays, both running or passing, that kind of limited us a little bit, because Florida, they had that big run at the end, but LSU, there was no big play threat, I guess you could say. Like Garrett Nussmeier, his chances of connecting on a deep pass were pretty slim given his accuracy and mobility issues at this point. And we've had bursts from Caden Durham in the past, and he had a decent game yesterday, but it wasn't really to be. You think about like last year and the year before with Brian Kelly and saying how has things changed? Like we had Jaden Daniels at the helm and he was basically a big play machine in himself. Like he was an accident waiting to happen at the quarterback position, both through the air and on the ground. And given that we don't have a dynamic playmaker leading the Tigers, then your play calling is a little bit limited, and Florida definitely keyed in on that, especially around the red zone and keeping us out of the end zone.
Don't say red zone, because our offense doesn't know what that means. It's like if we're at the 40, we can score. If we're inside the 30, I don't know. Let's take a shot at the 5, incomplete. We'll run it up the middle. Maybe we'll run something to the outside. All right, well, I guess we'll just kick a field goal. I mean, I don't know. It's a variation of that, or just – I don't know. It's still showing up. And Brian Kelly said it again in his press conference after the game. But it's like you can't just keep saying, we're not finishing. We're not finishing. It's like, we know that. We know
fix
that.
Fix it.
Yeah, why are we not finishing? Mix it up. I mean, the teams that – it's like South Carolina, they changed their quarterback mid-game. I believe A&M did too. So it's like – just try something different. I'm not saying Ricky Collins is going to save us this season, but just try something different. Because whatever Sloan's calling, it's like they see it coming every time. And like we'll have a big play or big touchdown because of, maybe we just got one by the goalie or something. You know,
I think that shows you how much lack of depth we have. I don't think that. I mean, Kelly has not. Does not seem like he's a Nussmeier lover. Like, I mean, you've seen him, he's gotten in his face on the sidelines, after him. I think that whether it's AJ Swan or Ricky Collins, or even, I just don't think that either of them have shown anything in practice to where they are even a viable option.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking forward, what do we think we do about the quarterback position next year, considering that this one is all but wrapped up? Like, do we ride with Nussmeier again round two? Do we look for the portal? Is it Bryce Underwood, true freshman, just let him take the reins? that's a, another tough question to answer. And I'm sure that's already dancing through Kelly and the rest of the staff's head.
If I had to guess, I guess Nussmeier stays and we probably ride him again.
Right. But with Bryce snipping at his heels and a couple other guys waiting back there. But yeah, that's if, you know, everyone else stays around too. You know, we've, at this point, it's like right after the game, we already lost one like offensive line recruit who flipped to Ole Miss. I'm hoping that, you know, there's really not many else that are jumping ship because, I mean, Lord knows, well, not everybody, but Michigan's pushing hard for Bryce Underwood. I mean, he's, I mean, they're just, they're throwing everything they can at him. He's like, nah, LSU. But I don't know. It's like if
God bless him.
Yeah, our case is getting weaker here.
Right. Well, it's like we, you would think, all right, well, we got two games to prove ourselves, but it's like, what's the morale with the team? Like, we can't mess around with Vandy. They beat Bama. Oklahoma hasn't been great this season. They're, you know, they're probably wondering about their coach long term, but doesn't mean we can take them light. Even in Baton Rouge, I don't know if it's a night game yet, but I know Vandy is Vandy afternoon?
No, they scheduled 7:45 right. or 6:45 p.m. 6:45, Baton right. Rouge time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's yeah, it's just ridiculous because Vandy, another mobile quarterback who, oh my goodness,
on fire.
Yeah. Which we don't seem to have the ability to handle. I mean, Lagway, we didn't know if he was going to play. He did. Didn't look hurt to me, but I mean.
Oh, that was one thing that I observed live is Florida fans, they love Mr. DJ Lagway. I saw so many people who already had like Florida Lagway jerseys on. And then by the end, like when they were winning, the whole stadium was chanting DJ Lagway. Like even when he threw, it was some interception, they got off the field, but like they were up and they were chanting it like just to kind of build him back up and like just support him. I was like, that's actually kind of cool, actually. Like I haven't seen LSU putting it on for Nussmeier in that way. So, I mean, obviously he played well for Florida and they seem to have a decent future with him at the quarterback, but, that's something that I hope we can maybe emulate a little bit in our fandom.
We should pump up Nussmeier.
Well, I mean, at least not necessarily try and bring him down and tell him he's terrible. There's definitely,
I tried to pump him up at Rouse's the other day.
Tommy was like, your shopping cart. It's amazing. I think you're buying all the right things.
You're making all the right. I followed him around and was like, you're making all the right decisions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man. Well, I don't know. I'd say, I don't know what it is. It's, we could go through this with a fine tooth comb. But that's just the X's and O's stuff. I think there's, I don't know. I just wonder if there's something going on in the locker room. You know, it's like, did BK, does he still have the respect of his players? And I don't know. It's like you could see BK yelling at coaches and players too, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore. I guess I just want to look forward to Vanderbilt.
I was thinking about that situation and how Ed Orgeron's tenure at LSU kind of ended, and that one, I guess you could say he lost the locker room, but in a little different way, where it was almost just so much of a circus that it was every man for himself and nobody really had much of respect for O at that point anymore. And players were decommitting left and right. And there was injuries and all sorts of stuff. And this one is like a little bit of the flip where like, have the players lost respect for Brian Kelly? Not because he's just like some goofball, kind of like O was, but almost just like too hard and too intense. And he's not motivating, like, or he's criticizing without the motivation in it, where Ed O is trying to like motivate and he's not necessarily given the criticism. So definitely two contrasting styles there. And I'm not a coach, so I can't tell you what the best method is, but somewhere in the middle possibly lies the advantage.
I don't feel like the team, it doesn't feel like the team has like respect for Kelly. Like they're not bought in on whatever it is he's trying to sell them. And, so I don't know if we can say right away, like he's lost it, but it's close. Right. I think it's like a breaking point. I think that this, we'll see these two games. I mean, look, like LSU's a 10-point favorite against Vanderbilt at home. Do I think we're going to win? Probably. But the way we win is going to be what's important. And I think that these next two games, like if they can't get it together, I mean, Kelly's probably going to be here for a while just because of how big his buyout is, but it might be, you know, down in the dumps. So it might be like you said earlier, Scott, it might be like a Jimbo Fisher situation.
Yeah, but I don't know. What about this, though? It's like, because we've known that we've had issues with personnel, you know, just from looking at some of the defensive outputs that we've had this season. Well, I'd say seasons before, right? Like it's been a complete flip. Our offenses look great. We won a championship with Burrow and our wide receivers and our running game and that offensive line we had. And a couple down years after that, but then, you know, it kind of came back up. We had a Heisman winner. Nuss was still pretty good stat. Well, I mean, he's gone downhill the last few weeks, but before that he was fine. It's just, I think, as mad as Kelly is, maybe it is a personnel issue because it's like we're still having the same issues on defense. Like they're like you said, Tommy, it's like we're regressing though. So maybe our guys just don't like what we have is as good as it's going to get, but it can get worse without their buy-in, their heart, because getting beat X's and O's, that's one thing. But I don't know, man. I just feel like it's we're just flat. We're just coming out flat. We're not. It's like we're not even up for it. We get some plays, guys celebrate. It looks great, but it's not sustained. So I don't know. Maybe it is an issue where our personnel is just not enough to bring us to the playoff, and Kelly's frustrated, but guys probably don't like getting yelled at.
Yeah, we definitely don't have the personnel. But I don't know if that, I don't know if that recruiting class, this upcoming recruiting class solves that. I hope it does.
And it may not solve it immediately either way. So we might just be in a similar situation again next year, even if they do show promise.
Right. Well, I don't know. Like we still got two games left. I mean, I can't imagine that even the guys that are there would want to fold up shop and stop, because even if they are graduating or if they want to declare early, why not get some film for yourself, you know? Just finish it out. I mean, you do have some fans that will be there next to Saturday nights perhaps. So maybe there is something there, but I don't know, man. They got to figure it out in practice this week, because Vanderbilt is – they haven't been playing scared all season, even with Alabama. So now they're coming into us. We're licking our wounds still. Three straight, even with a bye week. It's like, it's going to be hard. I don't know. Maybe there needs to be a team meeting. Maybe our guys need to be discussed it. Maybe they do need to. I still say just that fake Mike Tiger that they brought into the game last week, just let him loose in the locker room. We'll just play keep away or something. Something, you know, some sort of spark. Find something to play for.
I mean, I want to say, like, this is a classic setup where LSU's been on the losing streak, and then you get Vanderbilt at home and just a big, not necessarily comeback spot, but just bounce back spot where the players show some signs of life and they just leave it all on the field, and LSU wins like 42-10 or something like that. And I would love to see that. I'm not so confident that that's going to happen given the state in the season. You mentioned it earlier, Tommy, that you think LSU is going to win. And I agree. I think they do win, but definitely in a playable game. I mean, Vanderbilt beat Alabama, and they've had a number of other strong wins and some close losses as well. So it's not a cupcake on the schedule like a few other people are getting this week. And I just want LSU to get out there with a win and try and hold our heads up high. I think we're in agreement that Brian Kelly is probably safe, at least for this season. What about in the worst case scenario where we lose to Vanderbilt and Ole Miss and end the season on a 5-game losing streak? Like, is Brian Kelly, like, do the boosters pony up the $60 million at that point?
Well, at that point, wouldn't it be less than $60 million? I wonder how that, when does that time, because like the buyout reduces based on the year, right?
Well, I guess the year, it depends on, when the year is over, because it would still be bowl eligible and we would play in something.
I want to say, and I don't know this for a fact, but I want to say that like LSU contracts come up at like in December, January. So like if that's true, which I remember, because like the reason I know that is that like you have to get these contracts like approved by the board of supervisors, and that happens like, and I remember like Kelly's contract having to go up before the board of supervisors like Christmas time of whatever it was, 21. So I wonder if does that buyout go down? I mean, now it's probably still 50 million or 45 million, but mm-hmm. that might make a difference. I don't know. If we lose these last two, gosh, don't you think you'd have to make a move in some way?
Yeah, it'd be pretty hard to find any sort of positive energy going into next season off of that. Although it could be buy low, you basically can't go any worse. But then, yeah, you probably could go worse.
But then again, who do you hire
to win one? Yeah,
a different offensive coordinator. Right.
No, yeah, but I think that's a given. I think we're getting, I'm sorry, Mr. Sloan, but I think he's gone. Brian, I don't know if y'all noticed, Brian Kelly had the play sheet last night. He was calling, I don't know if he was calling plays or he was just checking in on the plays being called, but he had a play sheet, which he normally does not have.
Right.
This is something we missed, but we didn't talk about it early on. But also, can we just talk about how Sage Ryan and Braden Swinson were like, suspended for the first quarter of the game for some reason, and they won't say why?
Yeah, well, there was rumors about Swinson that he was like late for a team activity or something like that, and that's why and I think it was similar issues for other ones where like they either just weren't showing up or they were late, and that's definitely not a good sign.
That's anyway, not a good sign. Exactly, yeah.
Or Swinson, probably one of, if not the best defensive player this season, is checking out mentally and physically on the game.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, if that happens again this week, I mean, are we just going to sit guys and get in a hole against Vanderbilt? I mean, I don't know. I really hope that's not the case. But I guess it remains to be seen. Now, hopefully Nuss is healthy, right? Because I can't imagine trying to work a quarterback into the fold the last 2 weeks of the season. Although I think, yeah, I mean, we did have better run game this week. I mean, it was against Florida, but I mean, it looked a little bit better, but still, it's like the best we could muster was one touchdown. That's it. Some field goals. I don't know. Not good. Really not good. And it was so beautiful the way it happened. It's like we couldn't do anything, and then you see it as soon as the ball was thrown, I'm like, oh my God, that guy's wide open. That's a boom, touchdown. Mm-hmm. And it's just, again, it's like we just hit play in the slots, and just every once in a while we'll get a nice win, but that's it.
Yep. No jackpots in this casino though.
No. And I don't know. I think, Vanderbilt's not, I mean, they got one on, against Bama, but they have issues too.
They play Texas close. I don't know if I can talk myself into a Vanderbilt win at Tiger Stadium, but I think that they could sneak in. It could easily sneak up on you.
I mean, they come out flat. They got the exact same record as LSU, 3-3 in SEC play, 6-4 overall. So it's not like we're going against nobody's here, and it's not like we're top of the heap either.
Yeah. Right. I think if you come in flat and you play like you played against Florida, you can easily lose to them. I don't think they're any better or worse than – or I don't think they're any worse than Florida. They might be better than Florida. Right? This is a team that beat Alabama. And that's a team that skull dragged us.
Right. And yeah, it's just they will use the same playbook probably that Alabama did.
Probably. I say all that I'll pick LSU. I'll pick LSU to win, and I'll pick I think we'll probably win by a touchdown. Yeah, I could see us win 35-28, something like that. Very simple. It's a simple, lame game where nothing is exceptional. We probably don't play great, but we don't play terrible. And we come away with a win, and Brian Kelly escapes, mm-hmm. escapes embarrassment.
Yeah, I'm in similar lines. I think low scoring again, given our offensive ineptitude. So I'm going to say LSU 23, Vanderbilt 20, keeping it low, and LSU pulls away with a close victory.
Man, what kind of world are we living in where it's like, man, LSU squeaked by Vanderbilt?
I know. Well, when you see Vanderbilt on the schedule, you're expecting this podcast to be like, this is going to be a slam dunk win. LSU's going to win by 30 points or whatever, and we're going to be on to the next one. And now we're twiddling our thumbs over here in anticipation.
Typically, it shouldn't even take any like thought. Like, I shouldn't even have to be like, huh, what do I think about this game? Like,
right. Well, I don't know. I'm still. I've been let down so much. I'm not willing to say LSU could win. I don't know. I still think it's possible. They, you know, Vanderbilt could win 28 to like 17. I just, our ability to score is down because I feel like it's so easy to game plan against us now. It's all going through us, and whether or not he stays upright. I mean, our blocking was just horrible. I could see missed blocks left and right. I could see so many drop passes, and not just drop passes like they were in coverage. Josh Williams behind the line, but the field was open. I think it was Pimpton. He was running lateral right along the line of scrimmage. Nobody on him. Dropped it outright. And Ness is hitting these guys right in the hands too. And it's just what else can we do? It's like I don't know. The plays are there. We're just not making them. So no. I don't know if it's real. Like, I can't imagine Pimpton can't catch a ball. They're checking out, you know? So yeah. I don't know. I think I might have to say Vandy will probably take this one. I hate to say it. I'm not even
old.
I'm not 100% serious either, but I'm just tired of LSU proving me wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. I mean, Vanderbilt has Diego Pavia, the,
yeah.
Show-stopping quarterback who's, you know, probably going to be.
Isn't he suing the NCAA?
Suing the NCAA. Like, he's got litigation going right now. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things going for Vanderbilt these days.
Yeah, good for them. I mean, looking at – then after that, we close out against Oklahoma at home. Yeah, we're – I mean, we joked about being in the Cheez-It Bowl again, but I don't know, do we – It might be the R&L Carriers Bowl in New Orleans.
I mean, that'd be kind of cool at least.
Against the Cajuns, yeah.
Yeah, I could totally see playing something like that. Which, I mean, whatever. But yeah.
Are there any other games we can watch to get away from LSU here?
I would say Indiana and Ohio State, but I just don't think that's going to be close. I think that's going to be a revealing game for the Hoosiers. Although it's interesting because it's like, it's this dude's first season, the coach, right? He did really well before. He helped James Madison to probably their best year ever. Now he's brought Indiana all this way. I mean, they haven't beat a team that's ranked, I don't think. But they already gave him a contract extension before the season's even over.
He said they're an emerging superpower.
Sure.
Mr. Cignatti.
I'm sorry. I thought people learned their lesson when Notre Dame gave Charlie Weiss a huge contract after he had a really good first year. And they thought, oh, my God, this is our guy. And then after that, didn't really deliver. So.
Well, speaking of Notre Dame playing Army, that could be a good game to watch. Number six, Notre Dame, number 18, Army. Army still undefeated.
Yeah, and looking or fighting for that group of five playoff spot that Boise State's kind of currently occupying. But I feel like it would be hard to leave out an undefeated Army with a win over Notre Dame if they were able to get that one.
Right, mm-hmm. But don't they still have to play Tulane in the championship game? That'll be Army's first conference championship game ever.
And Tulane got a nice win this past week over Army's compatriot Navy. So the Green Wave are looking like the best team in Louisiana, and they're not out of the playoff conversation either. If they can get Boise State to drop one, and they can win the American, so maybe at least one LA team could be representing. And
yeah, and there's also a lot of guys flashing Heisman poses this week. Hunter, I think the guy from Boise State did it.
The
running back.
Colorado Deion looking pretty good, and they're the Big 12 kind of falling apart with BYU losing their first game and Deion looking like he might take the Buffaloes to the playoff, which would be a big development for them if they can keep the train rolling. So the media would eat that one up. Alabama goes to Oklahoma. You would think the Tide would take that, but maybe Venables could get the Sooners to pull one over. And that could be one for LSU fans to watch anyway, as we got Oklahoma coming up the week after, just to get a peek of what's ahead.
Yeah, and I'd say the only team that really looks like they have deserved their ranking, and that's everybody, is Oregon. I mean, they just keep handling business.
Yeah,
I mean,
they had a close one against Wisconsin.
They barely beat Wisconsin, but I mean, even LSU's last two national championship teams, we had to squeak by. I think, what was it? We barely got by Mississippi State in 2019 or Auburn. No, it was like we won by a field goal at Auburn. But still, I guess every team's going to have one. But, you know, they got some big wins on their resume too. So, but they haven't wavered. They're still doing their thing, undefeated. And they're probably going to be in the Big Ten title game. Definitely going to be at the playoff, even if they were to lose a game. Maybe even two. I don't know. Depends how they lose. Yeah. But other than that, I don't think – I mean, Texas is suspect. I'd say Ohio State, I don't know. I know their only loss is to Oregon, but some of the games they've had, I just don't know. I think the playoff is going to be great this year. There's just no telling because there's still, what, two games left to play. I don't know what everybody's schedule is, but – I think we know there's not going to be as many SEC teams this year.
Yeah. It's a weird year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. SEC could get anywhere between probably three to, I mean, some people have predicted six teams at some point. That I don't think that's going to happen given the number of two loss teams piling up, but yeah, between three and five is reasonable. Big Ten. Yeah. Very heavy on the top with probably four getting in between Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, and Penn State, depending on how those last few games go. And then everybody else, the Big 12, ACC, and the group of five teams all kind of squeezed to the sidelines. So those conference championship games are going to be very important, especially for the Big 12 and the ACC, because they might be one bid conferences at this point, which is kind of sad to say. Just nobody's really looking that amazing.
Dabo's still in it. He's still got him in there. I mean, it's... They're probably not going to make it. I don't know if they should. But, man, anything else? I guess the good news is LSU, men's basketball got a win on the road against Kansas State. Nice surprise. I was looking at it's like, man, I don't recognize a name on this. in the write-up, yeah. Whatever.
That's what I'm like. I mean, whatever. Yeah, we don't have Will Wade anymore. It's Matt McMahon. It's Brian Kelly. The only thing we have to look forward to is baseball in this world we have. So, speaking of baseball, a little side note, LSU did sign like the best recruiting class in the country, I think, this past, because this past week was signing day, I think. So,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think Kim Mulkey did too, right? Or at least she had one.
So, good news coming for the spring, but as of right now, we've just got to trudge through.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I think that's about all the we have time for, unless you guys had something else you wanted to mention. But hey, it's never too late to turn things around, right? The Saints lost seven straight. Now they've won two in a row. And I don't know, if you look at the back half of their season, most of their games are against teams with losing records like them. But I don't know. It's like they got rid of their coach and, wow, they found their winning ways again.
Maybe we should do that.
That's just like – I mean, not that LSU is going to do that with Brian Kelly and then all of a sudden we're just going to go undefeated. But
yeah. Oh, here's an NFL note for you. Former LSU assistant coach Joe Brady, who – went to become the offensive coordinator of the Panthers, kind of burned out. Now he's back offensive coordinator of the Bills and actually has them looking pretty good. They just handed Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs their first loss of the season today. So there's already been some swirling rumors that Joe Brady may be looking at an NFL head coaching job next year. Does LSU look to bring Joe back to the Bayou if things go badly with Brian Kelly? Do they put Brady in the number one seat? That'd be kind of crazy.
Be kind of crazy. I know that he had interest. From what I hear, he had interest in that LSU job. back when things were good. And you know, if he hadn't gotten the rumor was that if he hadn't gotten that Carolina job, he would have stayed at LSU. Ensminger would have retired and he would have become the OC, and then Ed would have retired, I think, after a couple of years. Like, he was kind of ready to, supposedly he was ready to call it too, and so he would have retired, and Brady would have become the head coach. So I don't know how true that is, but
right,
could have been a different world.
True. Well, could be a bidding war with the Saints, since they're going to be looking for a coach too.
That's true. And actually, that could be kind of tight. What if Joe Brady came back, because he started at the Saints?
Yep.
Right. Go figure.
Interesting.
But that's all I got.
All right.
Okay. Well, that's enough for now, I guess. Thank you for listening. We will have more next week. Hopefully, Tigers can turn it around, kind of salvage what's remainder of this season, and get themselves into a really sweet December 23rd bowl game somewhere. But I don't know, the playoffs will probably be going then. But yeah, I mean, we're going to be in a bowl somewhere, somehow. Hopefully it's a little bit better. But yeah, I think we're just playing for pride and trying to maintain our recruiting class at this point. I don't know that, I'd say Kelly's seat is officially, someone's turned on the burner.
It's warm.
Yeah,
it's warming. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But tune in next week. We'll have an update on that for you, as well as any other news. So until then, hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time on what will still be, for now, Talking Ticks.